what I'm about to release to you came, part of it, last night as I watched the news. I've never been to France, but my son has. He was there many years ago. Probably on more than one occasion, I believe he went back when he was in the Navy. But as I watched the fire taking chunks out of Notre Dame, I believe that it's a message. And the message is clear. And my brother confirmed it, so this is not news to the Spirit of God, but it might be news to you. I knew that the scripture says that the Queen of Heaven is a title. But it's a title not to the Blessed Mother. It has a demonic connotation. I've known about this for years. It's not something I would speak up without some background and without some scripture. So I'm going to take you to Jeremiah 44. So while you're looking to find Jeremiah 44, and I'm not picking on Catholics only. I'm not picking on Catholics, period. I am picking, however, on deception and lies that have been perpetrated. Perpetrated to have a serving community never to ask a question of its leadership. Never to call them into accountability. Because they presented themselves, even when I was a child, as godly men and women that were not to be questioned.
Amen.
And you were to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this message isn't for the lightweight. It's to wake you up and to let you see what God's opinion is. I was up at 2 something this morning. Usually I am pressed to take communion, but I heard no. So I didn't. I sat in my chair, and I knew that there was a scripture with the Queen of Heaven. So I said, Lord, where is it? And he let me hunt for myself for a while in Ezekiel. But obviously he took me to Ezekiel 11, and you can study that later. Because it has a message about Israel and the God of Israel and what he's doing. And there were a lot of Jews in Paris and in the surrounding cities. But the scripture that he wanted me to give you tonight was again Jeremiah 44. And I want you to look at verse 15. Well, 14, back it up. None of the remnant of Judah who have gone to live in Egypt will escape or survive to return to the land of Judah, to which they long to return and live. None will return except a few fugitives. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, along with all the women who were present, a large assembly, and all the people living in Lower and Upper Egypt, said to Jeremiah, we will not listen to the message you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord. We will certainly do everything we said we would do. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and will pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our fathers and our kings and our officials did in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. At that time, we had plenty of food. Did you hear? And we were well off, prosperous, and suffered no harm. What does that say about the Queen of Heaven? She's capable of giving you food, abundance, and protection. Verse 18. But ever since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have had nothing and have been perishing by sword and famine. Watch verse 19. And I'm not picking on women. The women added, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did not our husbands know that we were making cakes like her image and pouring out drink offerings to her? Then Jeremiah said to all the people, both men and women, both what?
Men and women.
He's waking all of them up. And women who were answering him, did not the Lord remember and think about the incense burned in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem by you and your fathers, your kings and your officials, and the people of the land? When the Lord could no longer endure your wicked actions and detestable things you did, your land became an object of cursing and a desolation, or a desolated waste, without inhabitants as it is today, because you have burned incense and have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed him and followed his laws and his decrees or his supplication. This disaster has come upon you as you now see. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including the women, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah and Egypt. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You and your wives have shown by your actions what you promised when you said, we will certainly carry out the vows we made to burn incense and pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. Go ahead then and do what you promised. Keep your vows. But hear the word of the Lord. All Jews living in Egypt, I swear by my great name, says the Lord, that no one from Judah living anywhere in Egypt will ever again invoke my name or swear. As surely as the sovereign Lord lives, for I am watching over them for harm and not for good. The Jews in Egypt will perish by sword and famine until they all are destroyed. Those who escape the sword and return to the land of Judah from Egypt will be very few. Then the whole remnant of Judah who came to live in Egypt will know whose word will stand, mine or theirs. This will be a sign to you that I will punish you in this place, declares the Lord, so that you will know that my threats of harm against you will surely stand. This is what the Lord says. I am going to hand Pharaoh, Hophra, king of Egypt, over to his enemies who seek his life, just as I handed Zedekiah, king of Judah, over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the enemy who was seeking his life. You say, that's an awful lot to swallow. It's an awful big insult to our God when people continue to stay in ignorance because they refuse to open their Bibles.
You're preaching.
Jeremiah chapter 7 confirms. And I want to give you just a couple of moments of Jeremiah 7. Verse 1 says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. How many of you would boldly stand in front of some church and declare their false gods and who they worship? Are you ready for that? I'll tell you, the time is coming. I will tell you, the time is coming. God is not going to be mocked forever. Last night, when I was watching those spires that go up, They represent the spirit of Baal and Baal worship. They also represent the spirit of Asherah, which is a spirit of lust that perverts men and women in multiples of levels. God showed me this years and years ago, and when I declared this, to one of my brothers, a born-again, spirit-filled brother. You know, you can read this word, but it's only a word. But when you deny the truth, God will deal with you. Okay? My brother's born-again, spirit-filled, prays in tongues, loves the Lord. And I shared with him that the Lord had given me a vision that the majority of churches, whether they are Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox or into the Egyptian areas, they have one thing in common: big spirals. I didn't know what that meant until the Lord said to me, take a good look in the middle of your Bible. There's a picture of my temple. There's a photograph of the temple of Solomon, and it's got a flat roof. And I said, well, that's for them. He said, do you see any spirals? And I said, no. He said, look around the world at all the famous buildings that have been put up, and you're going to see spiral upon spiral upon spiral, and they worship it. Because they are deceived. So, I shared some of this because there was a dream involved, there was a word of knowledge involved, there was a confirmation involved, there was the scripture that I'm sharing with you now. And I said to him, a lot of our family in Canada, because in Canada, every single county is called a principality. In Quebec, it's been settled by the French, and every township is called a principality. Every township has a church with a name on it, and obviously huge, usually, and a spiral, sometimes two. Now, the Lord said those are phallus symbols, and they're built by the Masonic community. Well, I almost fell apart. I said, God, how can this be? They're deceived. He said, you have no idea. But I will expose it in due season. So, my brother had a camper at the time. And he loves to, you know, go from town to town in the back roads of where he was brought up. And they stopped at a small town. And they were having a great celebration with an outdoor picnic. And right in front of the church was a statue of, and I don't know the name, I don't remember. He probably would because of what happened. He's sitting in this driver's seat of his camper. And that statue is in front of him, and it's all gold color. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to get out until you ask for them to be forgiven. Well, he's hungry. He wants to go and get some French fries, and he wants to get a hamburger, and he's stuck in his seat. Literally, under the anointing of God. So he said, I heard every one of the words that you had given me a few months ago. And he says, I was in unbelief, and I had to confess that I was not a believer of what I had been told. And until I began to pray for that town and those people that went into that building thinking they were worshiping God, not knowing they were offering service to the Queen of Heaven, he couldn't move. He said to his wife, Nicole, please pray for me. She said, what's your issue? He said, I can't move. I can't get out of my seat. She said, well, what are you? And she got a word of knowledge. You're supposed to do something. Well, he's kind of dealing with all this stuff that he, you know, he was brought up just like I was, believing that we were taught the truth. Finally, they both asked the Lord to forgive all the people that lived in that town, prayed for the entire town and the church leaders. He said then he had a release in his heart, and he felt a flood of heat hit his heart. Why? Because the scripture says we are seated with him in heavenly places, ever interceding. Mm-hmm. Ever interceding, not judging, not finding fault, but considering your knowledge. And now they need to be having the revelation. That whole town could be changed or has been changed. I don't know when God will do it. But they obeyed. And then they went out and got a hamburger. Why? Because someone was awake to give them a piece of truth. And that happened to be me. And now, I'm not taking any claim. I'm just saying it was pressed for me to obey. What I'm saying to you now is stop judging and start laying down some intercession as the Lord leads you. And do take a good look at what your traditions of men have done to our nation and to other nations. Not because we want to criticize, but we want to listen to what Jeremiah says. Verse 2, standing at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim his message. That's what my brother had to do. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah. Those are people of praise who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in the deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the aliens and the fatherless of the widows and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods, if you do not follow other gods, to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. You will steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal. Did you hear? Follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house with which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name and see what I did to it. Because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, and the place I gave to you and your fathers. I will thrust you from my presence. Did you hear me? Just as I did your brothers and the people of Ephraim. So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with them, for I will not listen to you. Do not see what do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes and breads for the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger, but I am the one they are provoking, declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? It goes on. I want to take you back to last night. And then this morning. I watched that spiral fall. It was huge on top. In fact, most of the people in the city could see it because of where it's located. I can tell you that if you go into Montreal, the highest steeple in that city is on a church called St. Joseph's Cathedral. I've been there. It's impressive. They say, oh, there's an anointing. It feels holy. It feels holy. People who go by feelings, and I have them, cannot always be trusted. You have to weigh the fruits, just like Jeremiah gives us the warning. Pray, intercede, take time to ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Because you see, when I was blind, I couldn't see. My ears were stopped. I couldn't hear. If I was 25 years old, 35 years old, you would have asked me any one of those questions or given me this information, and I would have said, you're crazy. Hear me now. I am not saying I was, but I was deceived. And the city of Paris is deceived. And the world's people that go there to visit a shrine that claims to have the crown of thorns. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's one of their relics. Why do we worship relics when we can worship the living Jesus who was born again, spirit-filled, by the Father in a river, so that he could give to this generation, along with those that he did 2,000 years ago, a way of life that is far superior than idols. Far superior. Far, far greater in power and in strength. You say, well, this is a lot to carry home. I'm not saying you need to carry it home. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm to you what he wants from you. Don't do like my brother and say, oh, how can this be? Please. I tried it. It didn't work for me. He corrected me. He counseled me. And he confirmed to me 2-3 times over that it was very true that I had been a part of that stuff when I was young. I've got brothers and sisters that still are involved. And that's their choice. I respect their decision. But I do lay down my life and I do intercede for them as the Lord leads me to. That's my heart. And I carry these, you know, this morning when the news came on, they pointed out the photograph and the spotlight was on the main altar. And all that you could see was the rubble and the gold cross. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a message to France. Amen. If you take a good look at what's left, he got rid of the crappy junk that worships false gods, and he exposed to them the true one who is represented by that cross. That's justice. Hear me when I say this. I am not a political person. I don't believe in, you know, building up different politics, but I do know one thing. I don't want my family or anyone else's family to fail because somebody didn't speak the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And the truth is to be taken to the bank and ask the Holy Spirit. You've got the scripture. Read it for yourself. It's not my job to read it for you. It's my job to give you the information and then to release it. Because the Holy Spirit will confirm to you that God loves France enough to bring a revival there and a real awakening, yes, to the reality of Jesus and who he really is that, yes, they've never known. There are some spirit-filled churches in France. There was, I'm going to give you one more thing and that's it. I'm guessing roughly 4 years ago, I'm in my office down in my family room. And I'm watching Kim Clement because he's in France. And he has his team there, and they're worshiping the Lord in a spirit-filled church. And I mean, I'm not going to tell you I wasn't excited, because that would be totally lie. I wasn't touching the ground. But all of a sudden, Kim Clement left his keyboard. He went down to the main floor, and he took by the hand the pastor of that church. And he knelt down in front of him, and on one knee, and I heard the Lord say, "Now will you get down on your knee, son?" So in front of my desk, I got on my knee, and I said, "Lord, what do you want?" He says, "Now you're going to hear it in English, and then you're going to hear it in French. You'll be the double blessing for them." And when my brother said today, "You need to go and pray because we need to pray for France," I knew we needed to kneel at that altar. Because I wept that night. I wept openly. There was an anointing in my house that was so awesome. Because you see, if it wasn't for France, where would I be? My generations go back to the 1600s. But my heart and my foundation are there. And it's for a reason that I carry them in my heart. It's because God has put them in my heart. Now bow your heads and don't look at me. Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we each have a commission.
We each have a commission
to pray for the nations. And that includes France. We're saying it out loud.
All the deceptions.
All the false gods that have been worshipped.
In all the churches.
All of them. We ask that you forgive them, Lord. Set them free, Lord Jesus. Awaken them to your truth. Awaken them to the blood. And to the body of Christ. And the Passover capacity. That this season.
It's not about Eshtar.
It's about Jesus. Rising out of the grave. To rule and reign. And then to return. He's returned inside of me. And I can intercede. As the Holy Spirit presses me. In Jesus' name we pray.